on the people. Dancing on the people like I.
Everybody in the booth can tell myself.
SMQBs, episode 199. Well, well, well.
Here we
are.
Here we are.
Hope's on the hot seat.
This coming. Pope, who are you bringing to the bar, Pope?
I'm going to bring Marcus Freeman because I want to talk to him and can't wait to hear what his game plan is to pull the big upset. So we're going to the bar actually in the next couple hours before kickoff. I'll buy him a nice tequila shot to get him going for the game. But I want to hear their game plan. We'll analyze it later. I don't see they have much of a chance, but I'd love to hear what he wants, how he's going to do it.
All right. House, who are you bringing?
I'm going to bring Jalen Carter to the bar. I'm going to send him home with an Uber driver so he's not driving.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, fair. But I want to buy him whatever he wants to thank him for saving our season and to say, honestly, Jalen, you are a top five defensive player in the entire NFL. You cannot be stopped with a single person. And what you did as a one-man wrecking crew in yesterday's game really saved our season. And I just want to say thank you. You are a beast of a man.
It's true, unfortunately.
I don't understand why he wasn't double-teamed on every down.
Yeah.
Made no sense.
Yeah.
I am going to take Ichiro to the bar.
Oh,
and wish him luck in the upcoming Hall of Fame voting and hope that he becomes the second unanimous selection. You guys know who the first one was?
Mariano.
Yeah.
Oh.
Who yeah. in the hell was the one person who left Derek Jeter off the ballot? I will never know. But anyway, and I also want to see if I can get Ichiro to do something to loosen the Dodgers stranglehold on all these Japanese players lately. It's just not right. He needs to do us a solid.
Yeah, it's a sad state. What's going on there? All right, I am going to bring Dan Snyder to the bar.
Oh, I thought we were never going to have to mention his name again.
Oh, well, are you going to get him security too?
No, I'm just going to sit there and leer at him. And maybe chuckle a few times here and there and point and laugh.
See if we can provoke him.
Throw something at him. But I just want to sit there and lay eyes on that motherfucker and see how he's feeling right about now. That's all.
Mm.
All right, guys. Fun. We've had some developments here. We got to talk a little NFL. Let's start with Saturday's games. Rooster, take it away, buddy.
We're going to save the best for last, so I'll start with the AFC game. Fourth-seeded Houston went into Kansas City, number one seed, and lost by 9 points. In a game that was sort of lived up to what Milk warned us about, which is don't bet against the Chiefs until they lose a playoff game. And, you know, I remember last year, looked like Kelsey was washed last year. And they dusted him off for the playoffs, and he switched it into high gear and had a damn good playoffs. This year, everyone's like, yeah, well, you know, he's a year older. He's looking slower. It's not going to happen again. It looked like he played the whole season in second gear.
He's a performer.
Sure enough, he's plays this game in fourth gear the whole time. He's 35 years old. He caught 7 passes for 117 yards and a touchdown. About the only thing he didn't do well was block. I mean, I don't know if you saw the one play where he was trying to block somebody and it resulted in it was like a reverse and it was like a 7 or 8 yard loss because he just can't block anymore. But damn,
I'm sure they'll make the trade off.
The Chiefs just know how to win playoff games. And until they lose one, I wouldn't bet against them. The big story in the game is, of course, the Texans and half of America feels like the refs stole the game from the Texans. So let's talk about that a little bit. I mean, sure enough, there were 8 accepted penalties against the Texans. 2 drew particular attention, the 2 roughing the passer calls for 15 yards each that sort of did change the complexion of the game. One of them I don't have a problem with. The second one where Mahomes went into a slide and the 2 defenders dove at a sliding quarterback. And, you know, this is happening bang, bang, and in real time, really fast. The replay showed that the 2 defenders actually made helmet-to-helmet contact with each other and not Mahomes. But right, once Mahomes goes into a slide, you don't go in there leading with your head. So you kind of get where you're at. You know, they were asking for that call by both of them diving in head first. They just happened to miss him. I don't have a problem with that one. But the call against Will Anderson for roughing in the third quarter when it was 3rd and 8. Clay Martin says he was the ref. He told reporters afterwards he saw forcible contact with the face mask. I don't think the replays just confirm that. I just think that, you know, it's one thing for Jordan rules in basketball, because basketball is 5 guys, and if you're Michael Jordan, you know, maybe you get a call going to the hoop. But the shit that happened with Tom Brady and is now happening with Mahomes is just too much. Does anyone disagree with that?
I thought the first one was BS, because it's like Aikman said, he's a runner.
I agree
he's
with
running,
you.
And then at the last second he does a last second slide. Those guys are already coming in before he dived. Before he slid. Aikman is like, you know, look, you treat him like a quarterback, you treat him like a running back. If he's going to be a running back, then you treat him like a running back. I mean, Aikman's definitely fed up, especially when he tried to draw the foul where he like stopped on the sideline and then just went flying like a fly.
I don't think you should treat him like a running back. I think you should treat him like a quarterback, but I think all quarterbacks should be treated like a quarterback. That's my issue.
Right.
Like, Mahomes is getting Jordan rules, and we are seeing
Tom Brady rules. I mean, they've been showing replays. They showed a replay of Chris Jones, the Kansas City lineman, rushing Tom Brady. Tom Brady throws the ball, releases it, and Chris Jones's hand comes down because he was trying to swipe the throwing arm, and pats Brady in the chest. It doesn't even cause Brady to take a step backwards and gets a roughing the passer call. So the same thing happened with Brady. People just forget that. I mean, the snow game, the changing of the rule, the tuck pass, all that. And it's just not right, because these games, you know, the 11, 22 guys are going at it hard. You just can't do that. But go ahead, House. I'm sorry.
It's fine. We've spent so much time on this pod in various sports talking about rules and some goofy rules, like the baseball goofy rules and this year's kickoff rule. And my thing about the rules is a flag. Something that's a penalty that affects the yardage or someone's progress on the field or on the court should be a flag that comes as a result of affecting the game. And you should be able to replay plays to see whether or not, especially penalties that are over 10 yards, you know, whether it's a pass interference or it's an intentional foul that's 15 yards, you know, those kinds of fouls should be A, reviewable, and B, to see if it actually affected the game.
I mean, these guys, these referees get together on every play, right? Before they make the call, before the head official makes the call, they all get together, they talk about it. It is not impossible at this day and age to have a guy in a booth for every game watching every play and saying yes or no, right? I mean, that it's just...
Especially in the playoffs.
And you do it quickly, right? If his job is to sit there and make it, I mean, that's what I'm saying, but they get together already. So it's not going to slow down the game that much. But there were some big missed calls in some of these games, too.
Even in the Washington game, there was
the slide down, the drop down tackle, the hip tackle.
Yeah.
It happened in the Eagles game, too.
But the thing is this, this happened last week in the Eagles game, and you guys are probably starting to see it, particularly in the playoffs this year. NFL's got this new quick review thing that they can review something very quickly and say, on quick review, it actually is short of a first down. Last week, the Eagles had a penalty on the opposing team that was wiped off from a quick review. Well, if you can do a quick review of a penalty, you should be able to do it on any penalty. I didn't
That's
what never seen that before.
I like because
Go ahead, Rooster.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, didn't they first institute review of pass interference after the Rams-Saints debacle in the playoffs? And they were like, oh, we got to do something. But then they just haven't, like, just do it on every penalty if that's what you're trying to get it right.
Do it fast. Just do it every time and do it fast. Yeah. I like where House was going initially with his response. I think that part of the what the fans want to see is if it's a penalty against Tom Brady, then it should also be a penalty against Cam Newton. If it's a penalty against Mahomes, then it should also be a penalty against Josh Allen. You know, or some other big dude who's playing quarterback. You can't have special rules for one quarterback and then let other quarterbacks get beaten to shit. Like definitely happened to Cam Newton. I mean, that guy played most of his career concussed.
I mean, you guys saw what I texted y'all about the unbelievable stat in that game that Houston is the first team to outscore their opponent by 100. Outgain their opponent by 100 plus yards with no turnovers and lose a playoff game. Before that, those teams were 49-0. So it wasn't just the referees, though, guys. They missed two field goals.
They only scored 14 points, and their awesome field goal kicker missed a field goal and an extra point.
He missed two field goals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they didn't play good situational football.
What's the verdict on CJ Stroud right now? Down season, he made a little bit of a comeback towards the end. Of course, you know, great game in the first round of the playoffs. And now where are we with him?
I think given a full complement of offensive weapons, if you get, I don't know if you'll get Tank Dell back, Nick, for next season. Yeah. But, you know, there's other receivers, Diggs, you know. Once Nico came back, I mean, Nico Collins was incredible in these playoffs. Yeah, when you consider that was the only offensive weapon they had, the whole defense knew every play they could potentially go to that guy, and he was always getting open. But I think if Stroud has his full complement of weapons, he's a promising young quarterback. I don't know if he's the one to take you all the way there, but I like him. I'm buying. I'm buying now on CJ Stroud.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, that's what shows you how long this damn season is. I mean, Stephon Diggs started out and was like, that was a big pickup for them. That was the guy who was gonna take them over the top. And what did he go out game one, or was it even before?
Early.
It was early.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and the takeaway from this is that the Chiefs, I think, are still extremely vulnerable. But you got to beat them in Arrowhead.
You got to be the man. You got to beat the man, and nobody has beaten the man yet.
Right.
When Brady was winning with Gronk towards the end of their run, this is what they were doing, what Mahomes and Kelce was doing. We kind of reached the same point with Gronk too. But these guys, it's almost like they play with their eyes closed. They know where each other is. They know when the play breaks down, how to get open. And the chemistry between them is as good as any passer receiver duo in NFL history. Same with Brady and Gronk. These two guys are very, very tough to beat.
And their defense is turning it up a notch too. They're playing pretty well.
Mahomes, 7 years in the NFL, 7 straight AFC championship games.
Yeah. You would think ridiculous. You would have thought that Brady stuff is untouchable. I think it is.
Yeah, it is.
At least making a championship.
He sat behind Alex Smith.
Alex Smith.
So I think he's had 8 years in the NFL. Maybe, but he definitely sat behind Smith for a season. So he was not. Now, wait, did they go to the championship game that year? Maybe they did. Did they go with Alex Smith that year?
I think they went and lost. Yes,
I think you're right.
A stat.
No, I think you're right. Actually, I think they did go. So he wasn't the starter, but he was. The team went to the championship game.
You guys remember basically the president of operations years ago on the Philadelphia Eagles named Joe Banner. I don't know if that name rings a bell.
No.
Joe Banner tweeted something this afternoon. This is crazy. When you think about what Reed has done, Joe Banner says, sorry, a little self-promotion. Hired Howie Roseman with no football experience and virtually no job history. Hired Andy when he had never been a coordinator as head coach. Hired Sean McDermott with no experience to the first NFL job and proposed hiring Dan Quinn in Cleveland and part hiring him in Atlanta. I mean, come on. Like, 4 for 4. Talk about an eye for talent. It is what Andy, I mean, I don't, you know, like Andy Reid's going to be, he's going to be right there neck and neck with accomplishments as Belichick.
Yeah. He's still like 47 wins away from Shula, which that's pretty wild. And that's a lot more football to have to coach to get there.
He's also younger than he looks.
I mean, feels if he doesn't, like he's 100. I mean,
if he doesn't drop forever. Dead of a heart attack, he can keep going for a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Here's
anything else on
2017. Okay,
yeah. Let's
play
go.
One game, which one means game. He was eligible to be a rookie in 2018. So 7 straight.
So that was the year that Smith took was the starter, though. They did go.
So the NFC Championship game coming up is the first time that the Washington Commanders are going since 1992. What were you doing in 1992, Bison?
Man, I was in high school.
Were you really?
I remember.
Good God.
I remember going to the parade that year.
Wow.
Do we want to do Washington now?
We're doing Saturday. It was a Saturday game, right?
Yeah. All right. This is so unbelievably surreal. And like, this is the feeling that I had about it. It's so weird. I'm old enough to remember all 3 Super Bowl wins. And I went to the parade in high school. And so here's the like cognitive dissonance as a fan who remembers those days. To me, the anomaly was the last 30 years. Like every year it felt like, No, we're going to get this back. We're still Washington. We're still one of the most storied franchises. We have 3 Super Bowls.
You grew up with parents who were telling you about, you know, no one could ever get season tickets.
Right. That's
right. There's a waiting line forever.
So as well documented as my suffering with Dan Snyder was, there's this really weird feeling of like, yeah, we're in the championship game. And also like, holy fucking shit, we're in the conference champion. Like, how the hell did that happen this year? Like, how in the hell did that happen this year?
Well, you didn't listen to me when I told you in the beginning of the year that Washington was going to be good this year.
Well, I did. I did put money on them to make the playoffs before the season started. So that paid out nicely.
By the way, in 1992, I had 3 children.
can we talk about? I mean, it's incredible thing what Washington did. Can we talk about the coaching malpractice that was in that game from Mr. Kneebiter himself?
Well, and from the Bears' new head coach too.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Go ahead. Get into it, House. Yeah. Do it.
I mean, everybody has been seeing where Washington is thriving with these incredible plays of yards after the catch, you know, whether it's Eckler or Robinson or McLaurin. He makes very nice downfield throws, but it is part of the Kingsbury offense. By the way, major, major credit. I'm sure this is talked about in DC, but if coaches want a game film for their team to see how receivers and tight ends can block to set up a play, holy crap. Just watch Washington versus Detroit. It is some of the best receiver blocking I've ever seen. But you know that's what's coming. Like, you know that is what's coming. What are you doing blitzing this guy? You can forget about blitzing Jaden Daniels. It doesn't matter. The whole game is hot reads. The whole game is yards after
that's,
the catch.
That's not on Campbell or Ben
or Glenn.
Johnson. That's Aaron Glenn.
Yeah, okay, but he's got
the coaching staff. Yeah,
he's playing that game though with a bunch of guys from the practice squad because their whole defense is hurt. But I agree with you. Jaden, he fell into the trap of, oh, let's blitz the rookie.
Make him
this guy. I was listening to somebody recently who said ESPN hasn't been shit since Stuart Scott died. And I thought of his quote, cool as the underside of a pillow. That is Jaden Daniels. The kid is unflappable as a rookie. It's unbelievable. And so you don't blitz a guy with that kind of calm demeanor because he'll pick your ass apart. That dime that he dropped on De'Ami Brown, is that his name?
Yeah.
That was a hell of a pass. That was not a rookie pass. That was a hell of a pass.
He was 12 of 16 for 191 yards and a touchdown.
299 yards.
No, that's against the blitz.
Against
the blitz.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no question he's a rookie, but the national media started to pick up on this too, in that you cannot underestimate the value of this person we keep calling a kid is 24 years old and played all those games and had all that experience. Yep. And there's this all other cool story about the VR experience too, and all this extra game experience he's getting. He's not a little kid. He's a mature young guy who reads defenses very, very well. And yes, he is a rookie. This is his first time through the NFL, but he's not the rookie that comes out like CJ Stroud or some of these other guys that come out after 2 years. And that is a big, big difference.
He's very mature. He's also very mature. Apparently they had to give him keys to the film room because he's getting there before the coaches.
I think I've said this about six times on this pod. He played 55 college games.
Yes.
That matters. And guess who else did? Bo Nix. And guess who didn't? Caleb Williams.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I mean, so yeah, it does matter. It absolutely matters. And not, by the way, not at the WAC, right? Or the AAC.
He's 2 years younger than Jalen Hurts. So, yeah. I mean, you know, it's not that he's got tread on the tire because he's got a very bright future ahead of him, but he's not a 20-year-old rookie. He's a 24-year-old rookie. Kingsbury, like Pope was just starting to say, Kingsbury drew up yet another perfect game. Why are we not hearing that this guy's interviewing or not getting a job?
He will be interviewing with the Cowboys.
I don't think he wants the job.
Not the ones that are out there.
Yeah. But I do want to say this about him being a rookie and that. I mean, you're right. He's older. I've said it a couple times here. I want to see the eye roll I get on this. But you are witnessing the greatest rookie quarterback season of all time. There's just no doubt about it. There's no better. I know you can hear the eye roll. There is no better rookie season that a quarterback's ever had. I mean, this
I don't know what I don't know what he looked at. This?
He could be the first rookie to start in a Super Bowl if you guys beat the Eagles next week.
He has more games with no punts and no turnovers than Brady, Mahomes, and Montana combined in their entire careers.
What was Burrow's run the rookie year to the Super Bowl or no?
No.
No.
Okay.
I think he blew his knee out actually about the fifth or sixth game of his first season against
us. I'm curious what the comps are. I don't know if you've looked into that.
Well, CJ Stroud is the only comp that anybody talks about. And it's just not this is the best rookie season. I think he's the first six seed to win on the road against the one seed to go to the conference champion. I mean, there's any metric you want to look at. He's having the best rookie season of all time.
And I think I'm right that he would be the first rookie to start a Super Bowl.
Yes. Yes, he would be.
We have a crack staff that's working on this right now. I can tell right now looking at the computer. So maybe we'll get some answers. But I think we've run out of superlatives for Jaden Daniels. And I just think like we talk about Belichick and Brady, and like we talk about Reed and Mahomes, whether it's Kingsbury or Quinn or a combination of both, yes, it's Daniels, but they are just doing such a brilliant job giving this kid exactly the menu that he needs to succeed. And so, he makes the plays, he makes the throws. They're giving him the perfect, perfect offense, and he's excelling with it. They're rolling him out of the pocket when he needs to roll out of the pocket. His design runs are great. His improvising is, I don't know, right now with Mahomes sometimes a little gimpy. Yeah, Josh Allen is more like a bull that bowls somebody over. Jalen's a little gimpy. I think of the four remaining quarterbacks in terms of improvising that could all of a sudden remaining? Make a play. That could, yeah, it's got to be him.
Well, the other thing I thought about him was, I actually thought about you, Bison, is at the half, they were up 31-21. And I thought, he's got this in the bag. This is a fucking rookie. And I'm saying to myself, he's got this, because that's just how in control he is. And I don't care how old he is as a rookie. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like he's like a hot goaltender. He's almost like standing on his head. You know how we go in the NHL, these teams can come from way down because and don't have home ice and just make a run. I mean, with a hot goaltender, you got a hot quarterback, man. I mean, everything's just falling into place.
But, you know, you do have to look at the other side of this game too, Detroit. I mean, they had some really boneheaded plays Goff had probably his worst game. Yeah, five turnovers, had probably his worst game since coming to Detroit. I mean, and then you throw in, and this goes to Ben Johnson, you know, that halfback option.
Oh, my God.
Wide receiver.
Jameson Williams.
They went to the well one too many times with that play.
It just was terrible. Silliness. I mean, terrible play.
Call of the circumstances.
And it just made a huge difference. I mean,
well,
he scored
on a wide receiver reverse from 61 yards out, and they got greedy. But he's not smart enough or not hadn't practiced that play enough to just take the loss or throw the ball out of bounds. And he forces it into double coverage and throws a pick that really sealed the game.
Yeah. What was the score when it was fourth and two? Down by the goal line. And you guys were going for it, and they ended up having 12 men on the field?
Oh, gosh. I don't remember what the score is, but I think we were up 10 at that point. I think that touchdown put us up 17. But that
was a huge play.
Another pivotal play.
And Dan Campbell's it's on me. I mean, 12, I mean, Romo or whoever it was, Brady was doing the counting. He's like, you guys got 12, timeout. I mean, I can't believe they let that happen. Then that was an automatic first down.
All right. Next play. Are we done?
Let's hear about Sunday's game.
House is about to start attacking
all of us.
Yeah. All right. Let's go. Can we do the Eagles last?
Sure. You can do whatever you want. I mean, the audience, don't hang up yet because you're going to want to listen to this.
Oh, yeah.
And now for the sore winner portion of the program.
Yes. Let's talk about Mark Andrews.
Oh, man.
Second best tight end on that team right now. I don't think he's going to be playing there next year. Too making too much money to be playing like that when you have Lively on the team.
I feel like every single week in the NFL season, we see some dumb tight end want to try to get 5 extra yards just because they do. And they're not going to get 20. They're not going to get 40. They're not going to get to the end zone. They want 5 extra yards. And that 5 extra yards that Andrews wanted that resulted in that fumble was a killer. Killer, killer, killer.
I heard that was his first fumble since 2019.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, you got to feel for that guy, man. He has been a consummate professional for Baltimore.
Sure.
And really one of the great tight ends for a couple years in the league. But man, if you could almost, you don't want to say someone single-handedly lost the game.
It might not have been as close if Lamar didn't just drop the ball.
Yeah, Lamar didn't have his best game either.
And then, his first interception was just couldn't be any more lazy.
Well, Lamar for not, you know, Lamar's come to Andrew's defense and has not wavered one bit. And good for him for There's a lot
he
of
said,
stress.
I got, he says, I got to be better. I can't drop the ball.
I wonder why Andrews wasn't wearing those big sticky gloves in that weather. You know, that ball that he dropped for the 2-point conversion, he had bare hands, I think.
Interesting.
It could have been a better pass. Not saying that he shouldn't have caught it.
Yeah, it was above the knees. He should have caught it. He
could have hit it more midsection.
Hit him in the hands. It hit him in the hands.
It did. But I know Lamar's kicking himself for not throwing it in the right here.
Every time I'm ready to say Lamar's the worst throwing quarterback ever, he makes some kind of it's a little bit awkward throwing motion. It almost like looks like a shot put sometimes. But he did make some incredible throws to come down the field and almost tie that game. And the throw was good enough. Yes, it might not have been a perfect A plus, but it was an A minus when you.
It was an A minus. Yeah, it was. He was rolling out, you know, with three guys coming at him. It was a pretty good throw.
How about the throw to Likely for the touchdown?
I mean, great.
Oh my God.
Great throw after running around and.
Now that game ended up being exciting at the end, but I thought it was a boring game. Otherwise,
yes.
I don't know. I just didn't seem to have the energy, particularly, you know, I know it was snowing like shit there, but it didn't seem to have the energy for Buffalo that those fans usually bring it. And it just didn't sound, I don't know. It's something about the broadcast. It just wasn't that entertaining until the very end.
Buffalo didn't want to get in a shootout with Baltimore. I think so their game plan was to have longer sustained drives with Josh Allen, you know, running here and there. I mean, I think they played the game they wanted to play.
Yeah.
What's fun about this AFC championship is that it's really the quarterbacks and the defense. Okay, James Cook is a nice player, and there's a couple of nice receivers, but there's not superstar. There's not Pro Bowl receivers and position players at running back. This is a defensive battle, and what quarterback can make a really smart throw to a tight end or whatever? There's going to be some unsung hero. That's going to be yet another. I'd be shocked if it's not another epic game between those two.
Yeah. And I mean, I know everybody wanted to see, you know, Lamar versus Allen, but come on, Josh Allen versus Patrick Mahomes again. I mean, some of the shows that they put on, I mean, just that's going to be must-see TV for sure.
Four out of 5 years now.
Is that right? Yeah. Geez.
Bills haven't won any of them.
No.
Give the edge to KC because of their defense.
Same.
Oh, they just, like we said at the beginning, to be the man, you got to beat the man. And just nobody's beaten them yet. So. Was there another game?
Let's talk about Philadelphia. Philadelphia versus the world.
In your head, maybe.
Yeah.
I will say that I've been blessed to be at so many great sporting events across lots of different sports. As I've said to people, it will be for a forever memory to be there. It will only count as an extra special memory if next week works too. If not, it was just a very, very cool divisional game. And then we lost at home to a 6 seed, you know, that would stink to a division rival. But if somehow we come out of that victorious next week, this will go down as an all-time Philadelphia sporting event. It was watching a game, particularly late second quarter into the rest of the game in a snow globe, like inside as a fan. And it was just, you know, everyone saw it. You guys said it on the text, like some of the TV angles with the snow was just incredible, 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 incredible. And some of the performance, like there were a couple of sliding catches that the Rams receivers made, and even some of the kicks that Elliott did make, and the holds in particular, the holds that these place holders, you know, made impossible conditions. It was so, so cool. And look, I've lived now a little bit to see live Mike Schmidt, Steve Carlton, Allen Iverson, Moses Malone, Julius Erving, Bobby Clark. I'm already ready to say that just as a performer at his position,
a legend,
Saquon Barkley is as good as I've seen in a Philadelphia sports uniform ever. Just ever, ever, ever. I can't wrap my head around what this guy is doing. And I think like we talk about with lots of sports, like I think we're all being treated, whether it's Patrick Mahomes, we are being treated to something special with this Saquon Barkley year. It is one for the ages. Mm-hmm. I thought the coaching from the Eagles was overall piss poor. I think they made a lot of mistakes. People, we're going to get into this in a second. People put the blame on Jalen on the safety and a later sack. And he is partly to blame for that, but come on, like in those conditions, when you're inside the 30, in those conditions, when you've just got 4 yards out from the two and now you're up at the six, what the F are you doing? Drawing
run
like a
Saquon.
Throw?
Run Saquon. Right,
I want to get a commitment from something though, right now, Muehlhaus. Yes or no? Well, let me ask it this way. If you could pick Nick Sirianni or Andy Reid to be your head coach right now, who are you taking?
Well, the guy has just won 3 Super Bowls. I think I have to go with Andy Reid, the worst clock manager of all time. But I think I have to go with Reid.
It's just very hard to tell if you like your coach or hate your coach sometimes. It's very hard for some of us to
maybe
understand
just
where you come down.
How you roll. You just hate your coach as part of being an Eagle fan.
He's annoying. But I'm telling you, Nick, like, if you just win the next one, I'll let you keep your job. Otherwise, get out.
No pressure.
I just want to say something because it's already starting. It's already starting.
Let's do it.
It's gone on through the year. It started in the beginning of the year with, maybe you have got the best quarterback from the NFC East, blah, 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 blah. I just want to say the hate of Jalen Hurts, I'm not taking it anymore. I'm not taking it anymore. And I'm going to go through some stats and you're all just going to effing sit through it because, okay, let's blame Jalen Hurts for AJ Brown dropping the ball. Let's blame AJ Brown for Goddard running the tight end screen in front of the line of scrimmage instead of behind the line of scrimmage, which negated, you know, we lost that huge play with the illegal man downfield, or Lane being false started on the tush push. This game is a laugher. We win something like 43-22 if players other than Jalen Hurts don't make those mistakes. Jalen Hurts, in the last 12 games he started and finished, has 29 touchdowns, 3 turnovers, and 113 passer rating. But he stinks, I guess. So let's talk about Jalen Hurts, who in his last 5 postseason games is 96 for 143, 67% passing, 960 yards, 6 touchdowns, no interceptions, 100 rating, 11 total touchdowns, and 0 interceptions. But I guess he sucks because let's talk about how great Mahomes and Allen were this weekend, right? Like these are the guys. This is who we want to see. We want to see Mahomes versus Allen. But I know you guys know that Josh Allen had 147 total yards, 2 touchdowns, but he's the man. And Mahomes had 191 total yards and 1 touchdown, and he's the man. But Jalen, with 198 total yards and 1 touchdown, he sucks. He sucks.
Jaden Daniels is the man.
Yeah, to be clear, yeah. Jaden Daniels is the man.
Of
but
the
no.
remaining 4 quarterbacks, I think we already established that.
And these guys, yeah.
I look. First of all,
are you looking for somebody who hates Jalen?
I don't think anybody hates Jalen. I think everybody here is rooted for him because he seems to be a class act, stand up. You know, everything he did in college and in the pros has been bossy.
Stop talking about his personality.
I'd take him as a starting quarterback on just about any team in the NFL.
I'll give you Jack.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd take
Jalen.
Well,
let's do it this way. You're not going to take, okay, you can have Mahomes, Allen, Lamar, Burrow. Are you taking Hurts over those 4?
Right now?
Right now.
I probably would take him over Burrow because Burrow's perpetually hurt.
Burrow and Lamar are sitting at home. So
yeah, and
I
Lamar can't win playoff games.
Okay, but wait, let's be. I'm just asking. I mean, you put him in the top 4 category.
You'd want him on your team, not statistically, but who you'd want on your team to be your
quarterback.
Yeah, I take him over Burrow right now and Lamar.
You know, this is like, are you guys like filling up Milk's body and making this argument about like stat? Like Milk is like, hey, Baker Mayfield, fuck you, Milk, by the way, for not being on, because I want to ram this down your throat.
Because let me tell you
he's
something.
He's doing the pirate thing. You know that.
Screw what? You and your 42 touchdowns for Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield is sucking on a hot dog right now on a golf course. You can suck it, Milk, this 42 touchdown bullshit. Do you want to win or not win? What do you want to do in this game?
Here's what it's just clear as a bell to me that there's something psychologically that affects all of Philadelphia where they cannot fucking be happy unless they're creating a conflict.
Yeah.
It's like you just won the fucking divisional playoff game. Be happy. No, I have to be all pissed off because of some perceived slight about Jalen Hurts.
You thrive on chaos and conflict. Man. You thrive
I
on
wanted
it.
To
you
be, I wanted to be happy, and then I turned on Fox.
Well, there you go.
And,
well, that's your problem.
Yeah, that was your problem. I mean, Fox Sports, who said the following? He said they said the following on the set. To beat guys like Josh Allen and Pat Mahomes, you're going to need more. What did Pat Mahomes and Josh Allen do this weekend?
But wait. You started off by talking about the epic season that Saquon Barkley is having. Does that not create a much better situation for Hurts? I mean, every time he hands the ball off, the guy's going to have 200-yard damn game at this point, it seems like.
Not only that, but what kind of an offensive coordinator wants to prop up QB stats when you got Saquon in the backfield running for touchdowns from every place on the field? Hand the ball off to Saquon, pass it when you have to.
Run it when you need to.
Julius Erving did not get an NBA championship. He tried, he got to the conference finals, and then they brought on Moses Malone, and they have a championship. No one's saying that Julius Erving wasn't a great player, and that only because of Moses. I said at the beginning of the year, Saquon Barkley could be the Moses Malone that the Eagles need. And if he does, that doesn't lessen how good Jalen Hurts is. There's still a quarterback that runs the game.
He is a nice quarterback.
Nobody's arguing with you. Nobody's really arguing with you.
He's a nice quarterback. I mean, he is
better than just a guy.
Marginally.
Okay.
Marginally.
I will say this. What's
you're bringing
really
it on yourself, House.
By the way, I think it happened both to Jaden Daniels, and I think it happened to Jalen Hurts. I've now seen a few games. This hip drop tackle is a dangerous tackle in the NFL.
It is.
It is a very dangerous tackle. It happened to Jalen yesterday. It looked from the images on the screen that he hyperextended his knee. Nobody said a word since. If he's Jalen Hurts with his legs was a big part of that game with that 44-yard touchdown. If he doesn't have his legs to use against Washington, that changes the game significantly.
It does. If you said at the beginning of this season that me and House would be squaring off in the conference championship game to go to the fucking Super Bowl, nobody would have believed it.
No.
Well,
but here we are.
Yeah. No,
that's
would
right.
Have believed it
that's,
for
well,
the
that's
commanders.
What I said.
Right.
That's what I said. Right. If I said we're squaring off, but here we are, Hal. We split the regular season. I know there was a hit, blah, blah, blah. Frankie Louvu. Yeah.
No, he's a marked man this week.
All right. Well, there you go.
That's smart, man.
This is only the second time that the Eagles and Redskins football team commanders have met in the playoffs. The last time, 20-6 Washington, I don't even know when that was, years, decades ago at this point.
91.
But here we are. Anybody care to weigh in on prediction?
I want to say that I went into my closet and I got, for all of our YouTube viewers, or if you're listening so far, flip over to YouTube. I got as close as I could get to burgundy and gold today. I don't really have gold because whatever. That's not good for my profile, but I found the burgundy shirt. And I'm just coming right at you on this. I'm coming right at you, Bison. And this thing will be decided by Cliff Kingsbury versus Vic Fangio. And I don't know.
Well,
Fangio, he's a wily old fucker.
I will say this. I've been saying for several weeks now, you'll hear this, but you won't hear it because you'll just like you'll use this as motivation later that somehow we think the Eagles are trash. But I've been saying for weeks, they're the best team in the NFL. They are the most complete team in the NFL. Jalen Carter is just unstoppable. And now we lost our starting guard, who would have been one of the guys blocking him. That tore his ACL. That doesn't help the situation. I think ultimately Saquon's too much. I think the Eagles, and being a home game, I think the Eagles win this. But let me say this. You better win this one, because Jaden Daniels is the future of the NFL. He is the mantle carrier for Patrick Mahomes. And this guy is going to have a stranglehold on the league for years. You better get your win while you
mark
can.
Mark that right now. Mark
you
that.
Better get your win
oh
while you
God.
Can. Because
episode 199
is going to be the best quarterback that. In the East for a long time.
Okay, Justin Herbert. Okay, Joe Burrow. Okay. I mean, the road is littered with these. What are you doing? It's
I
one
said
year.
It. I'm saying it.
All right, what's your score?
Oh, my God.
And I'm not the only one saying it either, by the way.
What's your score, Bison?
Oh, I think it's going to be like 35-24 Eagles. I just think they're too good.
Vegas
the better
likes
team.
The Eagles to win the Super Bowl right now.
Yeah, I mean, they're the most complete team. Yeah.
House weather looks like what? Cold, no snow?
Woody, here's the problem. Here's what I think the Eagles are smart enough to do. They will not, inside of 3 minutes left in that game, they will not put that ball in Jaden Daniels' hand. They won't do it. I mean, the Eagles have had this. It happened to them when they lost the Commanders. It almost happened to the Rams. The last 5 minutes, the bend don't break defense. If the Eagles go into that up less than a touchdown, they will lose this game. So I think it's going to be something. It's either going to be like the Commanders pull this out like 26-24, or it's like 24-19. And I just don't know. It's really whether or not the ball's in Daniel's hands at the end.
I already wrote it down. I got Philly 27-24 before you even said that.
Mm-hmm.
Rooster?
I think Jaden Daniels is on a mission from God.
Yeah.
Hey, we're getting ready to talk about God.
Hey, by the way, I think this last game is and the conversation about Cliff is a perfect lead into. Sometimes a OC should be paid HC kind of money, and the Commanders ought to pay this guy a lot to keep him, because look at Terry McLaurin's year this year compared to the last 5 years of his career. I mean, everybody knew he was good, but the offense never used him appropriately.
Well, I think he actually has less yards this year than previous.
That wide receiver screen for like 59 yards, they didn't run that play for him once in 3 years that I can think of.
Cliff is getting paid like a head coach, thanks to Arizona, as a matter of fact. So that's one reason he might not leave.
He shouldn't leave because he's not a great head coach.
Yeah.
But he's a damn good OC.
The danger in this game because of Kingsbury is Eckler, Robinson, Ertz, short plays with great. If the Eagles can't figure out a way to tackle and break through those blocks, it's going to be a long, long day, because that's what I see coming.
It'll be fun.
It'll be fun.
All right.
And I can't even believe it's happening.
Predictions on the AFC Championship. I got Buffalo 27-24.
You do? Wow.
It's their year.
Wow. No, I think it's still the Chiefs. Low scoring affair. 2016 Chiefs.
Yeah, I'd take your score and reverse it, Pope. I think the Chiefs.
I'm going
win again.
35-21 Buffalo.
Whoa.
There you go.
Is I think it's their year too.
Chiefs? What's up?
I think it's their year too.
Is Pacheco healthy now or no?
I don't think so. Not fully.
All right, guys. We got
the usual. Yeah,
we got a bunch of things we got to get to here.
We got to crown a national champion tonight.
Yeah, let's talk a little college football. We got some other stories we got to touch on there, but Pope, the big games tonight.
Yeah, culmination of 12 team playoff, first time in NCAA history. The number 8 seed versus the number 7 seed, which I don't think anybody had on their bingo card at the beginning of the playoffs. But we have Notre Dame against Ohio State, and I think we saw that little meme earlier. I would say the vast majority of the country is pulling for Notre Dame tonight, which is pretty amazing, seeing how Notre Dame's a fairly controversial team, and I grew up hating them in Alabama. But Notre Dame is a dog by 8.5 points. Started at 9.5. Looks like the money, you know, is going in on Notre Dame. Notre Dame's going for their 12th national championship, but first since 1988. Ohio State's going for their sixth, first time since 2014. You want to talk about blue bloods. All-time wins. Michigan is number one at 1,012. Ohio State is number two at 977. Bama's number three at 974. And Notre Dame is number four at 962. So you've got number two versus number four all-time. Big, big, big matchup. Ohio State is going to win this game if, in my opinion, they come out strong and keep the pedal to the metal. That's how they've done it these last two playoff games, especially. Look at the Rose Bowl. They scored, 20-some-odd points in the first quarter. They're outscoring their opponents 42-0 in the first quarter in the three playoff games. Notre Dame is outscoring their opponents 7-0 in the first quarter. So if Chip Kelly gets the wheels going in the first quarter, they are going to try to run away. If they don't, then we look at the rest of the matchups. Can Ohio State shut down Notre Dame's rushing attack? Jeremiah Love has been one of the best players in the playoffs. Riley Leonard is a very effective quarterback. If he gets the opportunity to mix up run and pass, he's not a great passer. So Ohio State shut down the running game, and that puts the ball in the hands of Riley Leonard to be a passer. That's not where they want to be. Can Ohio State's rushing game with Travion Henderson, which has been unstoppable, open up the passing game for Will Howard and Jeremiah Smith, who's probably the best player on the field tonight? They're the freshman sensation from Ohio State.
Which is saying a lot since their other wide receiver is going to go in the first round.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. He is.
That's how good he is.
Yeah. Yeah. And their second wide receiver, Emeka Egbuka, you're talking about, will go in the first round. And he's the one who you can't cover them both. So Texas decided to take Jeremiah Smith out of the game, and Egbuka killed him. So Notre Dame has got a really tough task to stop. First of all, they got to stop the rushing game, and then they got to cover those two guys. Ohio State just needs to limit the big plays. Notre Dame has feasted off those. They had a 98-yard rushing touchdown against Indiana, a 98-yard kickoff return against Georgia. I just think, love to hear you guys' opinion. I just think Ohio State, they are built for this type of game. They're apologies to you guys, Milk's not on here, but they are built like an SEC team that we've seen in the last 10 years that crushes their opponents in situations like this. So I'm unfortunately, I think Ohio State, from my perspective, I'd love to see Notre Dame win, but I think Ohio State wins. I don't think it's going to be that close. I think it's going to be maybe 14 points or so or more. And the breakout star, it's going to be, Jeremiah Smith or Jack Sawyer or Travion Henderson. Those three are the ones I'm picking. But it would be great, and I'll turn it over to you guys. It would be great if Marcus Freeman could win on MLK Day. He would be the first African-American head coach to win a national championship, and that would be great to see.
That'd be a great story.
Well, I think the sleeper thing, we shouldn't spend too much time on this because the pod's not going to be up after the game started probably. but I think the wild card in this is that they're still kids, and there's been a lot of time off, and Ohio State was playing great football, but they're kids, and who's going to come in more focused? And you just can't tell with college kids. I don't think you know who's going to come in. I get it. Ohio State's the big favorite, but, man, that's why they play the games.
Notre Dame's offense has been sputtering. It's been good all year, but it's been sputtering in the playoff. And you take away that 92-yard touchdown run by Jeremiah, and their yards per carry is not great. So You're right, Pope. I think Notre Dame's going to struggle to score points tonight.
I think they're going to have to possess the ball and get that run going, because I think you have to keep Will Howard off the field. I think if Ohio State, obviously turnovers always matter in any of these big games, but for me tonight, I'm going to be looking at time of possession. If Ohio State is holding on to that ball longer than Notre Dame, forget it. It's not going to be close. If sometime Notre Dame can keep Ohio State off the field and keep it close in the fourth quarter, we might get a special game tonight, but I'm just not seeing that happen because they've not been running the ball that well. If they can establish the run and even out or take the lead in time of possession, we're going to have a special game tonight. We'll see.
Notre Dame needs some big plays to win this game defensively and offensively, and they've done that. They've gotten it throughout the playoffs, so that's what they're going to need to continue to do.
They need a lot of third and shorts, which is where Riley Leonard can really play to his game. If you have third and long, it's going to be a long night for Notre Dame.
Well, speaking of long, I mean, I think the college football is officially past the NBA now. It's the longest season that there is. So, all right, guys, there's two other stories we were filing on college sports. Maybe we just tee them up and talk about them a little bit next week. But there are two things that are really interesting happening. First is this whole Wisconsin versus Xavier Lucas versus Miami thing. Rooster, you want to just tee up what that's all about real fast for the listeners?
Well, Lucas didn't even bother to enter the transfer portal and just decided he was leaving the school to go to Miami after having signed a contract with Wisconsin that has to do with the revenue sharing. And my big beef with this is, these kids have no concept of business ethics now. It's all about whatever the fuck I want to do, I'm just going to do it. And you signed a contract.
Welcome to America, 2020.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm wondering where they're getting that attitude from.
Yeah.
But, you know, if I'm a GM of an NFL team, that guy's not going to be on my radar screen, no matter how good he is.
Well, you know, Wisconsin denied him the transfer portal. He did try, and they denied it.
It is coming out too now that Wisconsin's accusing Miami of tampering too. Yep. So I don't even know what that means. But if there's a contract, is there a court action here? Is there an intentional interference with contractual relation? I mean,
I don't know how enforceable it is. First of all, NIL is not a contract that's enforceable. But I don't know about the revenue sharing, because we don't know much about that whole concept yet. It hadn't been really rolled out.
Yeah. Well,
let's just say for next week, this concept of, do you even want a player that doesn't want to be there anymore? Setting the legal part aside, whether you can enforce it and then do what with it. So let's talk. I think the Xavier Lucas story is not going to be the last one we heard like this.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the other one that's interesting to watch too, and this may change by the time we record next week, this may be different, but the Biden administration came out with guidance on all this revenue sharing and indicated that it is subject to Title IX equal sharing. And that is going to throw a massive wrench into a lot of these revenue sharing deals. Because right now, like 90% of all the sharing at the school is going to the football program. And according to the latest guidance, that it's got to be 50-50 men's and women's sports. And so that's going to be interesting.
That is a winning legal argument. It has been all along the way. Title IX has been unflappable in evening the playing field, at least as to players and scholarships. It'll be the same for revenue. This could really, really, really change the game. Title IX is like virtually undefeated in even the playing field. Many, many college sports programs, from soccer to wrestling to other men's sports, have been completely ruined, or if you want to call it that, they're eliminated.
Eliminated,
because of evening the playing field. The same thing could happen with revenue sharing. This could really eliminate some sports for some teams.
It's going to be interesting to see how it affects different schools. Like, it's not going to be such a big deal at UConn or South Carolina, because they have such outstanding women's basketball programs. But man, you do that to some of these, like Ohio State, Notre Dame, Michigan, Alabama teams, it's going to be a crisis.
Yep.
And so then that's you throw in a team too. You throw in a team that also has a powerhouse men's basketball program. and you have to divide it between men's football and men's basketball, they're really screwed.
Well, to be clear, I don't know if we know this for sure, but we're talking about the new revenue sharing paradigm,
yes, the
right?
$20 million pot.
Yeah, which hasn't even kicked in yet. So we're still operating under the old rules.
Right.
Right.
Which was Charlie Baker's point.
Which may actually just continue to exist with NIL, which is exempt from any Title IX considerations.
Right. That's right. Well, we'll see. Interesting stuff happening in college sports. But as we've been saying for at least a year now, somebody's got to come in and fix that and clean it up and get it right. All right. Hey, who's got a punch? Don't call it a comeback.
I have a
Rooster had one.
Yeah, I have Rooster. One. I'm going to punch a high school football fan from East Hartford, Connecticut. His name is Gregory Burnett. The guy went to a freaking freshman football game and decided that he was going to follow a group of athletes back to the locker room and essentially stalk them. And on the way in, he kind of hung his backpack up on the chain link fence. And one of the players saw it there and brought it with him and thought it was like the athletic trainers. So the guy realizes that his backpack has been taken into the locker room now by these kids and forces his way in and assaults like three of these 16-year-olds. 57-year-old man. I mean, it's just things have gotten completely out of control with fans in this country. It's stay the fuck in the stands. You don't belong on the sidelines, and you certainly don't belong in the team locker room. And what the fuck are you doing trying to get in there with a bunch of 16-year-old boys? You're not related to any of them, you fucking weirdo.
Related to the 55-year-old
He needs more than a punch. He needs a black hood over his head and be thrown in the trunk of my car.
Can we give a quick slap to that kid, Chris Boyd, who pushed pushes special teams Frank Ross like across the whole sidelines? Like, I know D'Amico Ryans is kind of coming to his defense or just trying to tone it down, but in what universe do you push a coach like that in a game? And like, what universe?
No, not okay. Not okay.
Not okay.
All right. Any other punches? Who's got a lasso? Nobody? Nobody? No one? All right. Buzzer beaters. I got a buzzer beater. I'm just going to mention it. I don't think it gets to the level of a lasso. It's kind of a fun little story about this kid, Ethan Frank, who came up. He played hockey in Nebraska, not exactly known for creating a lot of NHL players. And he got called up to the Caps. And in his first three games, he scored a goal in each game. Just kind of like a long shot story getting to the NHL and delivered in his first three games. Hey, it's not that hard to score goals up here, right? That's it. So,
Let's stay in Washington for a moment for a quick little buzzer beater, because I think this vaunted return of the Georgetown Hoyas ever since the Ed Huckley jinx. Well,
yeah, no kidding.
Tonight is There Will Be Blood Part 1 in Philadelphia, because right now it just got underway. By the time this records and you see it, one of us is going to have the first winner loss for the week between Georgetown and Villanova.
5-3 Hoyas.
So let's see if the Bison jinx of Ed Cooley continues tonight.
Yeah, no shit. Woof. Anybody else
DePaul?
With the buzzer beater?
Like DePaul, really?
Y'all kind of alluded to it when we talked about Ichiro. My buzzer beater is we need to talk about this more going forward, but the Dodgers are amassing this ridiculous roster that is we're past the point of inequity in baseball now. They have over $1.3 billion in deferred salaries. Something has got to be done.
With four number one starters.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost
the number one reliever on the market.
Yeah.
It's almost like they said, until someone stops us, we're just going to go out there and buy the World Series. But they're going to be they're the case in point of why everything has to change. So, go ahead, get it in. But there's going to be some sort of salary cap or something, some deferral cap or something. So, yeah. Anyone else with a buzzer? All right. We got a couple core outs. Who's got one?
Well, I'll do one, and then you do Euchre.
All right.
So Gus Williams is a guy that a lot of people, younger people, probably don't remember very well. He's a point guard for the Seattle Supersonics in his heyday, drafted by the Warriors. He was traded to the Sonics in 1978, and with his backcourt mate, Dennis Johnson, DJ, people remember from the Celtics, brought them to the finals against the Washington Bullets. And in 1978, the Bullets won that game in Game 7, and it was a hell of a series. And it was a really exciting Sonics team and Bullets team, really. Next year, Gus Williams, they called him the Wizard because he was lightning fast and was known for being basically a one-man fast break. He was the kind of point guard who didn't pass the ball much. He just scored all the time. Brought them back the next year. They're in the finals again in 1979 and again against the Bullets. And this time they won. But Gus Williams averaged 29 points a game, and in game like 6 scored 36 points. He then went on to the Celtics and got 2 more rings. He was a hell of a player. And what I would say to fans who may be a little younger is, if you really want to see some exciting NBA basketball, watch those two series. There were guys like Marvin the Human Eraser Webster on the Sonics, Jack Sikma, Dennis Johnson, Downtown Freddie Brown. I mean, it was a fun team. And then, of course, the Bullets had Elvin Hayes and Wes Unseld and all these really fabulous players. I think Earl Monroe was on the Knicks already at that point.
Good one.
All right, good one. Yeah. And of course, we got to also pour it out for just a bit outside, Bob Euchre. We're not going to be talking about his baseball career, his illustrious career, where his average is 200 with 14 home runs and 74 RBIs over about parts of 6 different seasons. But how about everything else that he did, including 54 seasons as the voice of the Brewers? And if you didn't know this, during the offseason, he was the color commentator for the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee Panthers basketball and football games also. Wow. And probably got his most notoriety in the Naked Gun, right? I think that's where, yeah. Or no, yeah.
Major
or was it a
Major League?
Major League.
Another Leslie Nielsen.
Ball
yeah,
eight. So, ball 12.
Anyway, 90 years old. Definitely a guy who left a mark on the world. So we'll pour Miller one out Lite for
commercials
Bob Euchre.
Were the best.
Yeah, that's right. So we'll pour out a little Miller Lite tonight. All right, guys. Anybody got anything else?
That's it.
Good luck, right, guys.
The SMQBs are Brian Bandwagon Pope, who hails from Dallas, Texas, and has never met a first place team that he didn't have a personal connection to. Michael Rooster Phelan, hailing from Richmond, and who roots for teams from New York, or is it Boston? I can't remember which it was. One or the other. Also, Patrick Milk Michler from Tampa Bay. And he is still massively in love with Tom Brady and will never get over his man crush on the GOAT. Toby House Milrod, a long-suffering sports fan hailing from Philadelphia, whose Eagles team, they're still looking for another quarterback. And I am Chris Bison Nace, hailing from Washington, District of Champions. Thanks for listening.